Our call to worship today, James chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now, most of you know that I'm originally from Minnesota, and I know what shifting shadows look like, because there's lots of trees, and when the sun is coming over, everything changes. That's what this is talking about. God does not change like shifting shadows. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the text that we have to look at today. And I pray that you'll be with us here as we listen to your gospel. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who has come and has rescued us from ourselves. I pray that you'll accept our worship today. May it be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. What's the biggest thing that God has provided for us? Salvation. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, in sort of a way, a roundabout way, I might add. The title to the message is God's Promises Are Forever. They're forever. It doesn't matter what happens. Romans 11, if you have your Bibles, verses 28 through 32. I feel like we're going to just touch the tip of the iceberg today with this text. But that's okay. Romans 11, 28 through 32. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as for the election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God and now have received mercy as a result of your disobedience, they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy to all of them. God always does what he says he's going to. Always. Never fails. How many here, and I almost hate to ask about sports, because some people have very strong opinions. How many of you like watching baseball, particularly the Twins? Okay. Ross? If I told you that this Saturday, which the Twins are playing on Saturday, down in Fort Myers, Florida, if I told you that I was going to take you and two of your friends down to Fort Myers and watch the Red Sox play the Twins during spring training, what would you say to that? You'd be all right with that, what? Yeah. Is there anything that would change that predicament? Would I lie about that? I mean, if I said we were going to go, we would go, right? You believe, you trust that? Yep. But so I wouldn't lie about something like that. I wouldn't lie about anything. Right? You believe that. Is there anything that would change that situation? Rhonda's shaking her head. What would change that? Weather, possibly. A death in the family, possibly. A broken leg, possibly. Something that's out of my control. So even though I promise something, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen. Is that right? Would I lie about it? Absolutely not. But would it for 100% sure, would it happen? Well, one would hope. If I promise something, especially something like going down to Florida to watch the Twins play, I would hope that it would happen. But it may not, because of outstanding circumstances that I can't foresee. Let me tell you something. If God says that he's going to do something, it will happen. It will happen. Our text today, we find that God is never, ever changes his mind. Nothing will get in the way of him fulfilling his promise. Malachi 3:6 is, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, the sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes. You have not kept them. They return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." What's that first sentence? "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not consumed." Why would they be consumed? Because they've left God. Sinners. But God says that they are not consumed because he has mercy on them. And he gave them a promise. How many years before? Through Israel. "You are my chosen people." Let's pray. Lord, as we go through this text, I pray that you'll work in our hearts, Lord. Teach us to be obedient. Teach us to strive to serve you. We honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you have your Bibles open to Romans 11, starting with verse 28. "From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of their fathers." There's actually two different statements in here, and we're going to look at the first one. But before we do, I want to step back 2 weeks and look at Romans 11, verse 25. It says, "For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery." What was that mystery? Huh? The two became one. The Israelites had fallen away, and so God has chosen the Gentiles as loved ones, part of the family, kind of. Adopted, grafted in. It's a mystery. We don't understand it. God's chosen people, and now we have a chance to be grafted in. "I don't want you to be uninformed about the mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. God hardened the hearts of the Israelites so that the Gentiles would have a chance to be accepted into the family of God. And until the fullness of the Gentiles comes, until there has been enough Gentiles coming in to the kingdom of God, then, and only then, will the Israelites be, their hearts would be softened by God, and they would come to an understanding who Jesus really is. But only until then. So in their eyes, Jesus was a good man, maybe even a prophet, but certainly not the Son of God, the Christ. So the first statement in verse 28, "From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake." Because of the gospel, they are enemies. Well, I need to talk about the gospel today. Because why does the gospel make us enemies to God? Can someone answer that? Why does the gospel make us enemies? What's that? Well, that certainly is there, but before that, before we accept it, what are we? Sinners. We are sinners. So that makes us enemies of God. Okay? The gospel. You know, I've preached on the gospel wheel before, the Awana gospel wheel. So all verses the Awana kids have memorized point to Jesus and our need for him and what Jesus did because of our need. So the gospel is the foundation of our faith. The gospel is what makes us Christians or followers of Jesus. The good news of Jesus Christ, the one who paid the penalty for our sins. The one who paid the penalty. Peter says in Acts 2:36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This is Jesus whom you crucified. So we need to know what that gospel is so that we don't fall into the same category as enemies of Jesus Christ. The gospel, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? Gospel, Romans 5:8-9. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. If we believe that truth, then we will be saved. I'm tempted to ask a Awana student this next verse, but I'm not going to. I worked with a couple of TNT students last week on this particular verse. In fact, this was the TNT lesson, this one verse, the gospel in a nutshell. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For I delivered you as of first importance. What's that mean? The most important thing that I could tell you, Paul says, is this one thing. Listen to this. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Number one, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he, number two, was buried and was raised from the dead again according to the scriptures. See, I hope that you understand what I'm saying today, because everything that we believe is according to the scriptures. And if you are believing something that isn't in the Bible, but you're making a doctrine out of it, it's false. We need to believe what's in the scriptures. This verse, by the way, makes some assumptions. First of all, Paul is giving his readers what's most important. And he's trying to relay that to his listeners. What's most important? Second, that Christ died for our sins. That's the gospel. And it starts with that one fact. Ruth, that's why I was getting at that one fact. We are sinners, which makes us enemies of God. Makes us enemies of the one who gave us life. We must know beyond a shadow of doubt that we are in fact sinners. Or maybe I should put it a better way. We are repentant sinners. Someone who was walking this way and then come to realization that Jesus died for our sins and he wants us to stop sinning. So we turn away, we turn from our sins, and now we're walking in a different direction. Repentant sinners. If we don't think that we are sinners, listen to me, if we do not think that we are sinners, then we would not need Christ to die for our sins, would we? If we don't think that we are sinners, then we wouldn't need Christ to die for our sins, and we wouldn't certainly need saving. That's the first important lesson that Paul is trying to tell us. 1 John 1:8-10. If we say then that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. if we say that we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar, and the word is not in us. Understanding the gift that God has for us and understanding our predicament are the two most important things that we can understand. First of all, that God has a gift for us and that we need that gift. We need to be saved because we're all sinners, the Bible says. So when Paul says that it's the most important thing and it's in the scriptures, we need to simply believe it. We need to believe it. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Jesus was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. Are you listening? Do you believe this? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? What's that movie, Myron, you would know, that one where the guy is carrying the cross and he comes up and talks to the preacher and he says, do you believe in the cross? And he says, well, I'm a preacher. Sir, of course I believe in the cross. What's the name of that movie? God is not dead. I believe. Do you believe? Yes, that's it. Do you believe? It's an incredible movie. Penetrating question. Do you believe in the cross? And the guy says, well, of course I do. I'm a pastor. I believe in the cross. And the guy says this, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Wow. God cannot look at unrighteousness. He cannot look unto sin. Therefore, in order to stand in his presence, we need to be clean. We need to be sin-free. That's why Jesus came, to die for our sins, so we would be clean. Romans 10, 9 through 11, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and it's with your mouth that he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Do you believe in the blood of Jesus? What are you doing about it? Confess, admit that Jesus is Lord of your life. Believe that Jesus died and was resurrected again on the third day, and you will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. So Paul says, in respect to the gospel, you are enemies because of your disobedience. Because of your disobedience. Verse 29, Romans 11, 29. For the gifts of the calling of God are irrevocable. And we've talked about this. In other words, God does not change. His word does not change no matter what the situation. Doesn't matter what the weather is. Doesn't matter if I broke my arm or broke my leg. Doesn't matter if there's a death in the family. God's word never changes. If God said that he sent his son to die for the sins of the world, he did. If God said that he called the saints to repentance, he did. If God said that he has given us the gift of eternal life, if we only believe, then he did. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Hebrews 13, 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He never changes his mind. What he says is going to happen. The last three verses I'm going to kind of squish together. And we may talk about them again next week. I'll have to decide that. But Here we are, starting with verse 30. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so those also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they may be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience, that he may show mercy to them all. Paul's speaking to the Jewish people here, and he's saying, you were disobedient, and because of your disobedience, now I'm calling in some more disobedient people that I might show mercy. How many of you, probably just the guys, I'm only guessing, have ever played the game Mercy when you were young? Really, Lily? How many? How many even know what it is? You played Mercy too, Byron. What's mercy? You know what mercy is? It's a game that usually guys play to inflict pain. Yeah. Mercy. And you stretch and you pull back someone's hands all the way back, bringing the person to the knees until that person has had enough and yells, mercy! Or uncle, or some other thing, right? I give. Stop! Why would I call mercy? Because I've had enough. The pain is too much for me. God gives us mercy because of our disobedience. We need mercy. We've had enough living in sin. He gives us mercy. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We deserve death, but he gives us mercy. He gives us life if you believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? One more text. Hebrews 9:27-28. Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. You will want to know Jesus by that time, friends, before the judgment day. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear at a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly wait for him. Are you waiting for him? I hope so. I want to see all of you in heaven on that second coming. Amen. Romans 11, verse 33-36, which I don't know if you have caught on to this, but it's been our benediction for all of Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who became his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Have a good week.